So I'm going to tell you about the woes of being in a working band. For those of you who don't know what a working band is, can you hear me all right? I got a big ass mouth. All right, so a working band is a band that has a day job. I am a licensed certified social worker. I work with kids with emotional difficulties. I have been in the mental health field for none of your business years. And I happen to be a professional wrestler, and I'm in a band. We play what's called fat blues music, and people ask me all the time what that is. If you could imagine Muddy Waters wearing a Bob Marley t-shirt, riding on Black Sabbath store bus on the way to a Parliament Funkadelic concert, listening to a James Brown 8-track tape, humming a Run DMC song with a Nighthawks ball cap on, all in the glory of Bo Diddley, with just a hint of B.B. King, that would be merely close to what we do. But the crazy thing about that is people forget that you're a real person. I'm just a real person. So in the working band thing, I go to work on a Friday, and I'm playing a big festival downtown Baltimore, Power Plant Live. So there's going to be a lot of people there. I got to take off my Mr. Bell hat, and I got to be Kelly Bell. Okay. So I come down there, and I'm dating a young lady. We had just been dating for a little bit, and she was fine. So I invited her out to a show because that's my gimmick. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got no conversation, but if I'm standing on stage, I look like somebody, right?
Shit, I know who I am.
So I asked her to come to the show. She comes to the show. She meets up with three different groups of friends. This is in a bar. Three groups of friends. So she got friends here, here, and there. And you know what's going to happen when you got three sets of friends in a bar, right? They're going to buy you drinks. Like that. So you know this story. No. So the crazy thing is, I get on stage. Before I get on stage, I give her a kiss. You know, I'm like, hey, you know, I'll see you right after the show. We're headlining, so, you know, I'm going to be up. I'm going to be busy for the next couple of hours. I come down. She walks up to me, and she says, and I'm thinking, oh, shit. She's looking at me like a deer in the headlights, or she's looking like a woman with the, you know, at the wine festival that's got the red stain on her shirt. You know who some of y'all know because it's you. Some of y'all know. So now I am no longer riding in the bus with the band. I am driving her car home from downtown after I worked 9 hours at my job dealing with them damn kids. And now I've been on stage and I've been dealing with drunks all night. And now I gotta take one back to my house. Everybody has been in that situation before, right? Not quite like this, you have it. First of all, she couldn't find a damn garage. We went to 5 different garages. I remind you, I work 2 jobs. It is the middle of the night, and I have to be up at 8:30 in the morning because we are playing 3 shows in 3 states. So I need some sleep. So we finally figure out what garage that she had parked her car in, and I want you to see this. So She hands me her keys, and I walk up to a red 1992 Honda Civic. You can laugh. I don't know if you noticed, but I'm 6'3", 300 pounds. I ain't got no damn business being in a Honda Civic. So I am now in a Honda Civic with my legs pinched all the way up to here. It's a stick shift. And I look her in the face and I went, we got 27 and a half minutes or something bad is going to happen. So here we go. Now I'm heading up 83 and I'm like locked in like this. And I mean, I'm locked in like, well, like you would be if I was sitting out there with you. You know how it is. Right now you got your armrest. If my big ass was over there, you wouldn't have one. Just because I take up space like that. That guy's looking at me like he's like, I thank God I didn't ride my last airplane with you. So I'm sitting here And she's right next to, she's a very petite woman. So she's sitting here and we're flying up 83 because I got 27 and a half minutes before something bad happens. I know this already. So I'm in the car, man. I'm doing,
no cops in here, right?
90 miles an hour in a go-kart. And I've squeezed myself in here and I look like a can of Negro. So I don't know how the hell I'm going to get myself out of here, but I'm driving and she gives that face that, you know, we've all seen before from a friend when we ended up holding their hair at the end of the night. Yeah. She gave me that. But, and I'm like, hold on, baby, just hold on. We, you know, we getting there. Just stay with me. Stay with me. She said, I got to roll the window down. So she rolls the window down. She starts hanging out the window. Hanging so far out the window, I'm worried she's going to fall out the damn window. Mind you, I'm still going up 83. It's raining. It's freezing. The window's down, and I'm driving like a maniac. I'm now holding her belt, but just to make sure she doesn't fall out the damn car. So she comes back in. I'm thinking, okay, we're good. Now I can crank it up and I can really get us there because now we're down to about 19 minutes. All right. So she looks over at me and she starts to give me the blip, blip again. She rolls the window down, except she doesn't roll the window down all the way. So she does a thing where I'm driving. She doesn't roll the window down all the way. And I just want you to envision, I am now driving, and all of a sudden, blink, 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 blink. And now I am sitting in what you would consider to be a vomnado. Because with one window open, the vomit is just rolling around this damn cigar box that I'm driving. It's in my hair. It's up. No, y'all don't. You're not. Let me give you the visual. Yeah. Yeah, that's the visual right there, man. So I'm doing all of this. I'm taking my sweatshirt. I'm wiping the inside up just so I can see where I'm going. So we get all the way up the highway. We get off of my exit. I pull up to the light. I really just want to cry at this point. I'm exhausted. I don't know what to say to her. She's calling me every name in the book because, and she didn't remember any of this, but I don't know, alcohol added muscles for some reason. And up comes this guy, and I'm going to ask you to buy into a stereotype. So I want you to think of the most Carroll County dude you can think of in the biggest truck with the biggest tires, and he pulled up next to me, this can of Negro, and he looks out his car, and he sees her side and sees there's vomit all along the side. He looks at her. He looks at me. Looks at her again. Looks back at me, and in that moment, it was the most connected I'd ever been to another man in my life. And we said nothing, no words. I just looked up at him like the saddest puppy you have ever seen. And he looked at me with all of this compassion, and he's looked at me and he went, and I gave him, and then he gave me the double knot. And I drove off, and I felt better just for a second until I pulled into the driveway and realized that I now have to spray this vomit out of the car and down my driveway so that my neighbors don't think I'm crazy. Now, my roadies are back at the house. They have already brought the bus back. And so now I got to get her in the house. Well, now she's driveway Jack Johnson. She is kicking my tail. And like I said, she's about 120 pounds. I'm 320 pounds. And she is waxing me.
So I'm blocking. I'm like, come on, baby, please. Can we just go in the house? So
I finally get her in the house. My boy, he's outside spraying the inside of her car out from the inside with a garden hose just to make it tolerable the next day. I mean, just imagine not being able to see out of the car. You see these dreadlocks? Think about that for a second. Yeah, it was a fun night. So I now have her in the bathtub, stripped down, and I'm washing her like a, well, Labrador. I'm holding her down. I'm trying to get it all off of her. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm still covered in this, by the way. And then I remembered that the outfit that she had on was this really nice thing that she spent a lot of money on. So I'm going to be the nice guy, hoping that I get laid another day. So I put all the stuff and I go wash it and I'm taking care of her and I'm going back and forth and she's still reaching up and fighting me and all this other stuff. And I get her to the bedroom. I set it up. We all have done this routine before. You put the trash can next to the bed. You get a big glass of water and make sure you got a roll of paper towels. Whatever it is, I got you, babe. I got you. I got you covered. I'm going to go downstairs and I'm going to hang up your laundry. I washed it in coal. It didn't shrink. Yeah. See? I'm a good man. So I wash it in coal. I hang it up. I come back upstairs and she is now sitting up Indian style in the middle of my bed. And she had thought to reach over, grab my pillowcase and take the pillow out of it, roll it down and hold it as a makeshift cloth bucket. And whatever she had left ended up in there. And I'm thinking, after everything I've done for you this evening, couldn't you let me have my damn pillow? All that to say, sometimes you got to take care of people. You know what I'm saying? And Kelly Bell is just a normal dude with a normal girlfriend. At least I had a normal girlfriend. I'm very, very blessed and lucky. And let me just say before I leave, this is amazing. I've never done, this is my second time doing Storytellers, Stoop Storytellers, and I didn't know anything about it, honestly. And I am the voice of WTMD 89.7, Monday through Thursday, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., and you could sure enough believe that tomorrow I will be talking about this right here. Thank you so much for having me, man.